Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Mangiorno. I'm here today with Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
McClunky.
Oh, hey. Not cool.
They say McClunky at the end of this season of Mandalorian.
Yes, they do.
After the credits. And so we should start by saying spoiler alerts for Mandalorian.
Big time. Season 2.
We're going to get into it. So
if you are my mother who does not listen to this podcast, don't listen to this podcast.
Your mother doesn't listen to your podcast.
No, she doesn't. She's like, you've done more than one of these? I was like, never mind. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. I get this on a computer, and she's holding like a VTech frog thing.
She's sitting on the last two episodes of this season. She's just sitting on them. She's like, I'll get to it. I'm like, oh geez. Come on.
So then the last thing she saw was someone kidnap Grogu, and she doesn't care?
She's just like, oh.
I couldn't sleep that week.
I know.
So as you can already see, today's episode is a sort of recap / best and worst, what we liked, what we didn't like, of season 2 of Mandalorian, the Star Wars live action show from Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. There's probably going to be some hot takes. And this is kind of like part one of a two-part episode. Today's episode is all about Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And next week, me and Janine are going to talk about the wider sort of Star Wars world now. There was just literally like 20-something new projects announced. Mm-hmm. They just started a new publishing initiative, High Republic. So there's tons of other Star Wars stuff that we'll talk about next week. Now, I have come up with a list of 4 things I don't like and 5 things I do like.
Okay. I also have more things I like than dislike. I don't really dislike much about this season.
Okay, good. So,
or really about The Mandalorian in general.
I agree, yeah. Yeah, in general, I like the show. It's a great show.
And I think we both have discussed this. I don't want to jump ahead, but I don't think you're going to get into this aspect of it, though. Like, both of us like the format. Like, I know there's been a lot of criticism. I think I've seen, like, TikToks about it where it's like, Mando shows up, wants something.
Oh, right.
Do this thing for us. Okay. And, like, that's the whole format of the show. Right. But I'm like, yeah, that's what this show is.
Right. Well, that very much apes the, like, Gunsmoke. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the idea of, like, the TV Western was like that.
Right.
Also, when people say things like, it's a fetch quest, it really shows how the narrativity of video games has influenced the way we see all other media.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know that it seems like a side quest to you because it's not necessarily about what Mando's overall goal is, but
right,
we're not playing a video game.
Right.
And this is...
And this format has existed pre-video games, so...
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, next week we'll get into the fandom, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the fake news of it all.
Wow.
And, yeah.
You really kind of pulled the curtain away from me on that one with fake news and infecting Star Wars.
It's wild. Like, I tried to look up, I read the first book of The High Republic, and I went to YouTube to find a review of it, and I found 1 real review and 5 fake, like, news negative rants about it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more disinformation, I think, than... To me, that's a good metric. If there's more disinformation than neutral or whatever information,
right,
then there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think we should start negative just because...
Oh, okay. So do
the
all
takes
the
get hot,
okay,
and then,
okay,
then we could cool off with what we like. People like the negative. And we should, and it's also, I feel like when you start negative, you put your cards on the table.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So do you want to start?
Sure. It's not so much specific things as episodes. Like, the episodes, I think, are weaker in general. The first episode, really anytime they're on Tatooine, I kind of don't care about it. Like, I know it's such a big part of Star Wars, and they always do it for
fan service.
They
find their way back there a lot, don't they?
But they're there. I love that Amy Sedaris is there. I'm happy to visit her. But she's the only person in this universe who knows how to treat Baby Yoda the way he should be treated.
Right.
But I don't think we need to be on Tatooine all the time.
For a sand planet, and apparently there's lots of sand planets, which is fine. It just means your planet happens to be too close to a star.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like this one, a lot goes on in this one.
Yeah.
One of the hosts of the We Hate Movies podcast made a joke like, it's like Dallas, like everything always connects through there. Like, oh, yeah.
Or like the Atlanta airport. Yeah. It's like an international hub and a national hub.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're going to Coruscant? You're going to want to stop by Tatooine for a minute.
You're going to need to refuel in Tatooine.
Yeah.
So just like when it's like we're in Tatooine again, I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I didn't love the episode. I like Timothy Oliphant, who is now just, I guess, a Western actor. He plays a sheriff in Mandalorian.
Whatever he does, yeah.
He plays a sheriff in Deadwood. He plays a sheriff in like Justified, I think, a couple of other properties. I like Timothy Oliphant, but I just not much about this episode felt very compelling to me. With one exception, which is on my likes list.
Wait, I have one thing on my likes list from that.
From this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, specifically. Do you want to go episode by episode? I don't know.
No.
All right.
But since we're talking about it, I just want to say it because I want to see if we match.
Okay.
The way they talk about...
The power vacuum created when the second Death Star explodes. Oh, I loved that. And it was like the second the Empire is out of the picture, immediately
That is something I like. Okay, I like that.
Because it was like, that's actually what happens.
Right, immediately, right. They just walk into the
bar. When colonial powers pull out of colonies, like in the real world, power vacuums are created, and usually like a militant local group will take over.
Right.
And that's how like Boko Haram started. That's how like ISIS started. These are like things that happen, and I like that they're showing that this happens, you know, in war all across
the
galaxy.
Show, they're on Tatooine and they're in a cantina and they're watching like their version of TV is like these holograms and they're watching the second Death Star explode and everyone's like, woo, it's New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And then literally that second, a bunch of like strongmen,
local like mining mercenaries come in
and just take over.
Yeah. I really like that aspect of it. Overall, though, I felt like the episode was pretty weak. And there is one specific moment that I was like, oh, this is so stupid.
What?
When they're riding on like the speeder bikes. Mm-hmm. And they're talking.
Yeah.
And they're having a full conversation over like the loud engines of the speeder bikes. Bill, like the second Timothy Oliphant said his line, both Bill and I went, what? Like, is what Mando should have been saying.
That's true.
Like, there's no way they heard each other.
But there's
a stupid detail thing. But I was just like, this is dumb.
Something also that's sometimes it goes.
He has a pod racing engine, though.
That's really cool.
And pod racing big on Tatooine.
Yes,
so
it doesn't look like a pod racing engine. It looks specifically like Anakin's.
Oh, okay, I see.
And that bothers me because let me say this, and this will come up a bunch of times.
It makes sense that it is it doesn't look like Anakin's, right? It is cool that it is a pod racing thing because we know the history of like pod racing on Tatooine is a big thing.
Yes, but if it is Anakin's, it sucks. See, this is going to come up a lot, and especially in my dislikes list.
Mm-hmm.
Fan service is a drug, and I am not impervious to that drug. When I take in fan service, I get as excited as the next person, okay? But it tends to be with me as time goes on and the high wears off, and I think about it as a work of art, I'll go, oh, that wasn't good, actually. Mm-hmm. That was stupid. And things like that, like, ooh, hey, everybody, look, it's Anakin's fucking power coupling or whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
That shit I don't like.
Is that on your dislikes?
No.
Okay.
But that's the genre of shit I don't like.
All right. I would say it's mostly episode things like this where I'm just like, this was a weaker episode. I don't like that we're on Tatooine. I think some of the details were stupid. And but there was something I did like about this episode, which was that thing. I didn't care for the monster. I'm like,
the Kree dragon.
Yeah. I'm like, it's fine.
All right, so I'll just come out the gate with probably my biggest dislike.
Okay.
Luke being there. Luke being there. Like I said, it's a drug.
Mm.
And when I saw the episode, I was thrilled to see Return of the Jedi era Luke Skywalker with the black outfit and the green lightsaber.
Right.
Just
height of his powers.
Right. So, and someone made a good point where they were like, it was so heartbreaking for Grogu to be split up with Mando, which to me is what works the best about the last episode. It's so heartbreaking.
Yes.
Someone said, like, it couldn't be anybody but Luke.
Yeah, I
agree. You wouldn't feel good with Grogu going with anybody but Luke.
We trust him. We know him. We know he'll be okay with Luke. It's the only way we could have possibly said goodbye to this character.
Right.
Is if we send him off with... And then R2's there. So you're like, oh, everything's going to be okay.
And they recognize each other. R2 and Grogu recognize each other.
That is...
from the temple.
Yeah. Who snuck him out?
Ugh. I like that he came. I like that R2 came a second later, because you know that meant Luke said stay with the ship. And R2 never stays with the ship.
Does what he's supposed
because
to.
The last time he did, Padme died.
R2's no snitch.
No.
He's not a snitch. He's not a snitch. No wonder people left the Death Star plans with him, because... Did I say Death Star? I did. The Death Star.
The Death Star.
The Death Star is Marley Matlin, and...
Oh, no, I gotta cut it out.
Okay, anyway, he's no snitch.
Look, it's not the... there are two aspects to it, okay? And by the way, if you love it, I'm so happy for you. I'm happy, because I was happy too when I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Just from... If you love it, I'm so glad you do. But just from a perspective of going back to the what seemed to be the mission statement of Mandalorian, mm-hmm. was this is not the movies. This is not the Skywalker saga.
It's not the Skywalker saga.
This is a different part of the universe that you have not seen before. Mm-hmm. And now we are directly in line with mm-hmm. the Skywalker saga.
But I don't think we're really going to revisit Luke training Grogu or anything.
But we still had, I mean, maybe not, but we still had Luke Skywalker come into the show.
I mean, true, but like, how would it have been better if, so we know we have to return Grogu to the Jedi, right?
Right.
But the Jedi really don't exist anymore. You know, they're few and far between. And Ahsoka's like, I might be the only one who hears you when you let out this call, right?
Right.
But she doesn't want to train him. You know, for whatever reason, people were speculating, like, are we going to see Ezra Bridger?
Right. There was, oh, yeah, is it going to be Ezra? Is it going to be...
Right.
Because,
like, how many do we
people
really
from the video
know?
Games and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, exactly. So are people from the video game going to show up? It had to be Luke. I mean, who else were they going to reach? And it's not...
It could have went a different way. I mean, Ahsoka sets up this thing where she says, let Grogu make the choice. So I guess Grogu said to Luke, I want to be trained, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But it could have just... went a different way and he didn't get trained or him and Mando just go, I don't know what, like it didn't. And also it doesn't look good.
The CG does look weird.
It's not there and it might never get there because we've got millions and millions of years of brain architecture that helps us look at human faces. Mm. And there may be no way that we can outsmart
that. Mark Hamill was even on set.
Supposedly he was, but there was a stand-in.
Yeah. Cause it's not his body. Obviously, he's not doing the stunts, but like it's
right.
not
I don't
his
know.
Physical
right.
body.
They
right
credit
now.
It to him,
yeah,
just because they
voice,
want that credit.
Right? I mean,
yeah, it didn't.
But like, they had to de-age his voice also because his voice is really like hoarse.
But he's
now.
Also If you didn't know who Luke was, mm-hmm. the character would seem scary.
They should have right.
And you also, it would be unsatisfying, you know.
Yeah, it was, in a way. I agree in the sense that it was just the end of Rogue One, but Luke did it this time.
Right, and that's the worst part of Rogue One, too, because it's just like
I think
fan
the whole,
service.
I don't like Rogue One. I don't like it at all.
Right.
But I like that scene. I think it's a very cool scene. It's like an action-packed, fun, intense scene. I don't think it serves the movie necessarily, other than he's like a Frankenstein monster who's like coming to get you.
Right. Look, I think fan service can be...
But I think it's
necessarily.
I
don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
Sequence.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean,
I don't
know
if I think so.
I think it is. I like when you see the intensity of the Force. Like, I know they were limited to whatever they could do in special effects. And I know, like, this is really the thrust of the video that you sent me. Like, the argument of, like, we don't need to see, like, crazy lightsaber battles. If it's just going to be a crazy lightsaber battle and it doesn't serve the story.
Right.
I'm like, well, that's what action movies do. And, like, this is a good sci-fi story, but it's also an action movie. So let them have an action sequence, you know. In any event, I like when you see how forceful the Force can be and things they can do now with technology that you couldn't do then. And it's not like spinning things for the sake of spinning things. I like it. Like, it's always, Star Wars has always been about pushing technology, pushing what's possible in effect.
Yeah.
Right. even like the an original trilogy, they were trying to do things that they've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he took it a little too far with the prequel trilogy, doing everything in green screen. But even with the prequel trilogy, they were trying to use lightsabers in a way that they haven't used before. And I don't mean like spinning and stuff. I mean like using it as a tool to like melt doors and
right.
do things that are really cool with a lightsaber. And what I think is this next step in pushing like fight sequences or what you can do in Star Wars is not so much with the lightsaber. Now they seem to be more focused on what the Force can do, and making the Force more forceful and not just like I can like weakly pull a lightsaber at me. I can like crush a you know, like a droid with a Force now.
No, I think that that's cool, and I'd like to see somebody other than Luke do it because I'm sick of Luke.
I mean, I get the fatigue of the Skywalker family. I do get that. But I agree with the argument that it had to be Luke to pick him up. And also, we know Luke had a Jedi Academy. Well, how did that start? Was it ongoing already? Was Grogu his first student? And then he was like,
so now this is directly related to the sequel trilogy.
Yes, I guess.
And there's also, we haven't had direct confirmation of this, but there's also, it seems to be strong hints that the Imperial remnants want Grogu to make Snoke.
That is, for me, one of my dislikes, actually.
Why? Because I feel like it's the same genre of, let's plug this in. Here's the thing. Star Wars could be so much. This is what I like about the books. There are so many planets. There's so many people. There's so many things. But when it comes, it seems like the more popular something is, the more cowardly they get. Season 1 of Mandalorian was better than Season 2 because Season 1 was a sleeper hit. They just were doing whatever the fuck they wanted to do. It was, we're going to show you this other gritty world inside Star Wars. And then Baby Yoda blew up and it became a big thing. And then here you go. Here's fucking Luke. And here's Ahsoka. And here's...
But you can't make that argument because you're wrong.
Why?
The first season gave us something familiar in the first episode. The first season was predicated on Boba Fett's armor is cool. Yeah. Here's a story about a guy who wears Boba Fett's armor. And right, it's on Tatooine. And here's a Yoda in the first episode. Right. And here's IG-88
but
in the first episode.
But those are all taking familiar elements and reconfiguring them.
Yeah, but it's the same shit. And
no, I don't think so. I think it's
never
completely
seen before
different
in
degrees.
Live action. And they're giving it to us. And it's, yeah, it's fan service, but the first season had tons of fan service also.
I think the degree makes a ton of difference in terms of its artistic integrity. I think, yes, the whole thing is predicated on people were attracted to the design of Boba Fett. And Baby Yoda, part of what makes Baby Yoda so cute is it's a smaller version of something you already know.
And you love. And you're familiar with.
But that's different from Luke Skywalker walking in CGI face and being like, hey, everybody.
It's me.
See you next year in episode 8.
I don't think we will.
Also, I can't help, and maybe I'm getting sucked into the whole fake news world, but I can't help but think that this was for people that didn't like The Last Jedi. Because there are so many people that are like, see, fucking Favreau gets it. This is the real Luke. Fucking real.
I feel like you're too in that world, though, of like hating people who hate The Last Jedi. Because if you take it at face value and you're like, cool.
You don't think.
Luke shows up. He sweeps Baby Yoda away. We're like, oh, this is very terrible. He can't be with Mando anymore, but at least he's with someone we know and we trust.
All right, well, whether or not that, let's say that's not.
Robin Williams' CGI Mrs. Doubtfire showed up at the end of the episode and Baby Yoda went with him, I would be like, okay, cool. We know who this character is. We love this character. He's going to be fine. Just imagine it that way if you want.
I think I'm lost. what?
It's just a character we know and love.
You just derailed me.
I just...
The fuck? listen, on the groundbreaking TV show, Smallville. No. It's not groundbreaking. I like Smallville, but here's my point. Smallville, no matter how insane that show got, and it got insane, they actually had a rule in their writer's room that they never broke.
Okay.
No flights, no tights. He never flies.
Why?
Because he's not going to be Superman. That's our end goal.
Okay.
He doesn't fly and dress up like Superman until the last scene of the last episode.
Okay.
I feel like this...
So you mean to tell me in Smallville he never flies before he puts on the costume?
I think he jumps.
Why would he...
He never flies.
Well, he doesn't Right? Doesn't he not fly in the comics for like a long time also? Oh, yeah. He like leap tall, like he leaps really far. Like,
right.
I mean, that's neither here nor there. But.
I think Mandalorian should have a no lightsabers, no Skywalkers rule.
I mean, I don't
know. I'm so sick of lightsabers. Are they that impressive? I'm just so sick of it.
I've never heard you say this before. I feel like you just agreed with the last TikToker you watched.
No, it's not true. And going back to what I was saying,
I think people overemphasize the lightsaber. And, it, you know, it's also, like, overly commodified. And it's, like, this thing they sell. And you got your lightsaber when you went to...
right, of course.
Galaxy's Edge.
Right, right.
I wanted to call it Lightsaber Landing.
Same thing.
Same place. But... Sure, fine.
But
this
but
show
listen,
has
you're getting
been extremely sparing on lightsabers. The only saber
season
we've
seen... Season 1 was...
What did we see? The Darksaber?
Yeah, that was season 1. Season 2, we... Ahsoka's fucking...
Ahsoka. Okay, well, you're bringing Jedi
But why
in,
do we need Ahsoka? If you've never watched the cartoons and you don't know who Ahsoka is, how would that episode read to just a fan of the show?
You didn't get to my dislikes yet. We went off on a tangent. One of my dislikes is the Ahsoka episode.
All right, fine. We'll get to that. I just want to say...
I don't think it really served the story at all. I think people were very excited about it. Yeah. I think the episode itself is not good. Right. I think there's very little going on, and they forgot to, like, make a set for the episode. I get that it's, like, a dying forest planet, but there's nothing visually interesting happening at all.
No, I agree with you on
that. I think the whole episode is extremely weak, with the exception of... We find out Grogu's name, and we find out that he was stolen from the temple, secreted away somehow.
All right, let's talk about that episode, but let me just put a... Well, I'm sure I'll come back to it, but let me just put a little button on this by saying, like I said, fan service is a drug, and I was not crossing my eyes crossing my arms angrily when I watched it. I was so thrilled to see Luke. It's just, I think the show is... losing its way.
I don't think we're going to see Baby Yoda the next season. In fact, I hope we don't. Even though, as you know, we love
I hope
Baby
we do.
Yoda. We love Grogu. If they show him, I think we're going to see him like levitating a rock or some shit with like Luke's back
to
him, or like you're just seeing like his legs walking past him, so like Mark Hamill's face doesn't have to be in the shot.
It's gonna all be just about the Darksaber and
I think it's gonna
be a continuation
story.
Of the Clone Wars.
I think it's it's called
See, that's
the
what
Mandalorian.
But this is what
sake.
I don't like about everyone loves Filoni and all that stuff. Filoni is so interested in his own insular little world. He wants to talk. All Filoni wants to talk about is Ahsoka and fucking what's his name? Now he's in Galaxy's Edge.
Thrawn?
Hondo Anaka.
Okay.
He's like a scumbag character that only appears in Dave Filoni things.
Is this character? Is he that? He's not the guy.
There's an animatronic of him in the Millennium Falcon ride at Lightsaber Landing.
At Lightsaber Landing, I love Lightsaber Landing.
And I'm not anti.
I don't know who this character is. Hondo.
It doesn't matter.
It sounds like a really big
wrestler. He'll have his own spinoff soon.
Okay.
anyway, all right, fine. Let's move on to what you're saying. One of my major problems with season 2, again, is all the backdoor piloting. And that's what the Ahsoka episode is. It's just a pilot.
It's just a pilot, yeah.
It's all
She's looking for Thrawn. We know this. Okay, great.
And by the way...
And that's it. That's really it.
And that's fan service, too, that thrilled me. But I always think, what if I didn't know...
You like the Steve Zahn novels? I know I said the wrong name.
Steve Zahn from... You Got Mail. And
That's
Friends.
His biggest property is You Got Mail.
Timothy Zahn. No, I actually haven't.
He's from Treme.
All right. I've read only one of those. No, he was a major villain in Rebels. So this is more of like a continuation of what happens at Rebels.
Yeah.
Because Rebels ended with, I forget how it got there, but it was a situation where Ezra, the lead character of that, and Thrawn were both on a ship that was like... Basically, Ezra, like, fucking full throttled it, and they both are lost. So it's like, you don't... If she's looking for Thrawn, it also means she's probably looking for
Ezra.
Ezra.
Yeah. Listen, I never watched Rebels. I've never watched
So
Clone
how did
Wars.
It feel when she said, where's Thrawn?
I know peripherally
just
about
the name.
Thrawn because I am a Star Wars fan. I don't read any of the novels. Like, we were talking about this right before we started recording. I'm a big Star Wars fan. I love Star Wars. I don't go deeper than The Mandalorian and the movies.
Okay.
So if you need me to go on to, like, some website to find out what Palpatine was trying to do. What is it? Fortnite? It was like released on Fortnite or something. Yeah. Extremely weird. Like, I'm not going to do that. I don't have time. I can go to the movies and see a movie. Fine. But
I'm much deeper
I don't go
than
beyond
you.
That. Yeah, absolutely. I know
but
you
still
are.
Not as deep as it gets.
I don't play, like, Bill plays the video games. Like, I don't play the video games. And I haven't watched Rebels and Clone Wars, not for lack of interest, but just it feels like a lot to.
It is.
It feels like a lot to
especially
get into.
Clone Wars is super long.
I don't think I'm not going to watch it, but at this point, I've made the decision that I have two little boys. I'm going to wait till they get into it, and then I'll just watch it with them.
I think Rebels is good. I think Clone Wars is hit or miss.
Okay.
Because they go from different characters, so you might be like, here we go, oh, a Jar Jar episode.
Right. Apparently there's another way to watch it.
Yeah, there's because it's the show also isn't in continuity order, because why do that?
I don't know. Kids shows do that.
And then what's the show that really sucks? Resistance. That was the last cartoon.
Is that the one that was just on Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It looks kind of like, does it look like anime, sort
yeah,
of?
Yeah, it kind of looks like anime. Okay. I wanted to like it so
is it
bad. No, Poe's in it.
Okay.
And Poe gives BB-8 to the lead character just to sell some toys and try to get anyone in the audience to care about it.
Mm.
He's like, hey, BB-8, hang out with this guy and be part of the show now.
Right.
Well,
okay, let's talk about the Ahsoka episode, because I don't know Ahsoka, you know, really. I know what the character looks and I know that she is a character in Star Wars that people are very excited about.
Yeah.
She shows up. Great. I feel nothing. Because I don't know who this character
exactly,
is.
Exactly, sure, okay.
And that's why it's a dislike of mine, because I feel like it doesn't do anything to serve the population who doesn't follow anything outside of the movies. You're just like, oh, it's a Jedi. Okay. Like,
but why? Okay.
So, and I don't think there's really anything about her that makes you like her necessarily. Like, I know it's played by an actress we like. You know, if you like her, Rosario Dawson, I like her very much. So I like that.
Right. Well, you would have to bring with you knowing that she was Anakin's apprentice and that she left the Jedi because she didn't like what they were doing.
Right.
And that she's, you know, you.
I know
all of that
shit. I actually
shit.
Don't know that stuff. I only know that she was Anakin's apprentice. I don't know beyond that. So she's a Jedi. We see a cool Jedi scene, but nothing about this episode really moved me more beyond finding out Grogu's name and what his deal was, because that's the character I'm invested in, because now I've been following his story. I don't really know her story. I didn't like the backdoor pilot stuff, and I didn't like. Okay, I'm keeping that in mind. I'm trying to look at the Luke scene through that lens.
Because
now.
Obviously,
like,
if you
didn't know who this person was.
Right, obviously, if you watch Mandalorian, you like Star Wars. But let's just say you don't. Let's just say you heard there's this new show and you want to watch it.
P.S., just to bring my mother up again, she did this exact thing with WandaVision. She came over today and she was like, yeah, I watched the first two episodes of WandaVision. Oh, I really liked it, but am I supposed to know what's going on? And I'm like, no one knows what's going on. She's like, oh, why doesn't she look like a robot? I'm like, oh, she's not a robot. I'm like, do you not know who these characters are? She's like, no. I was like, oh, okay, but you liked it anyway? She's like, yeah, I liked it. So I take that as a litmus test of the show's strength, and then it's just good on its own because she had no clue who these characters were going in.
Yeah.
She just saw, like, two magic people, and she's like, okay, cool.
Right. Look, I love intertextuality. I'm a nerd, obviously. All right, I love that.
Mm.
But I think things should still stand on their own, and I think a lot of... And I put Luke and Ahsoka together in this. I think that a lot of season two doesn't stand on its own. It's just...
Okay. I would say, to push back on that, yes, that is a weakness of the Luke scene, then, if you're looking at it through that lens, because we do recognize Luke. We love him. We say, go with him, Baby Yoda. We trust him. But removing him, if it's a Jedi we never saw before, it is still, I think, an effective scene, because he does seem scary. And you're like, oh, no, what is he going to do? He's going to attack us. And all Mando knows about Jedi is that the Mandalorians were at war with the Jedi. And he's like, oh, there's no way I'm going to beat this guy. Like, look what he did. I almost died fighting one of these robot things. And he just fought off all of them.
Right.
Like, and he's not even he hasn't broken a sweat. Like, if he wants to hurt me or if he wants to hurt Grogu, I don't stand a chance against this guy.
Right.
So there's that real fear that's set up in that scene. And I think in that way, I don't think that the Luke's action is hollow, because I do think it serves that purpose of showing he's extremely strong. He's extremely formidable. And if you guys had trouble with one of these things, like, you're toast when he comes into the room. Right. So, and then he like puts away his weapons when he walks in, and he's obviously like, I'm here to help. And if it's a Jedi we don't know, then we're like, oh shit, like, the Jedi are extremely strong. Is that what we've been sitting on this whole time with Grogu? Like, when Ahsoka assesses him and is like, he's really powerful, he could be even more powerful. If we don't know who the Jedi is and it's just some dude or, you know, whoever, I think it is still an effective scene, because you're like, wow, if he goes with this person, he can potentially become a really powerful weapon that we could use.
I like in the Ahsoka episode when she refers obliquely to Anakin, where she's like, I don't want to train him because he's attached to you. And I see what I've known what happens when attachments get in the way. So, like, I kind of like that. Something I love about the Ahsoka episode, and not enough people talking about this, is Michael fucking Bean.
Michael Bean?
Yeah.
Is that the, like, the lieutenant?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
John Connor.
Oh, my
God. No, sorry. Kyle Reese. John Connor's father.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's who that was.
80s heartthrob action star.
I was trying to figure out who it was.
Yeah.
Bill thought it was RoboCop for a second.
Same ilk.
Yeah. But you know, it's funny. We'll be like, who is that? And we have like these major computers in our hands, and we're like, no meme. Maybe I shouldn't bother.
I looked it up, and I was like, holy shit.
That's cool.
And I liked
liked almost nothing about that episode.
I like when Ahsoka is fighting the magistrate woman on one side. On the other side, you've got a duel. Because it's almost like, here's a Japanese fighting style, scene on one side. And here's an American Western.
And those two genres take so much from each other.
Right. And a big part of Star Wars.
And a huge part of Star Wars. Well, you figure, I mean, with the Seven Samurai
right.
being like a huge influence on the original Star Wars films.
And Bean being like, who do you think's winning? I like that exchange.
That exchange was actually quite good.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't like how cloudy everything was. It kind of felt like that one episode of Game of Thrones
where
no one could see anything.
It's super CGE, that episode.
Yeah.
There's a real fakery to it, which I kind of liked. I like the way the episode looks, but it does feel the most contrived. Not contrived, but like...
I don't want to...
I mean, it's all constructed because they shoot on that crazy thing that they invented called the volume.
What is that?
They invented something for their show called the volume, which is the perfect marriage between practical and digital.
Okay.
Basically, instead of a blue screen, LED screen.
Okay.
That projects photorealistic footage.
Oh.
So a lot of the scenes where you think they're outside, they're actually in a set that goes not just behind them, but above them.
Okay.
And like when the camera moves, like the background will move.
Oh.
So they're basically shooting the whole thing interior, but it doesn't look interior.
Okay.
It's going to change. They're like, people have written about this. Like, it's totally going to change the way we make movies and stuff. It's crazy.
That's cool. And you figure like old Hollywood had like the big sound stages that people would shoot on. Like, you're going to shoot on this volume. Like, this is like a legendary volume. The whole Mandalorian was shot on this one.
It's like that. It's like going back indoors, but with the sort of realism we're used to.
Huh.
But in that episode, you're right. There is a certain sense of, there's facade there. Which, I kind of liked it.
Hollow to me. I felt like I could knock over one of the trees. Like, it was a school play cardboard tree or something. I don't know. There wasn't depth there. And I don't want to, you know, get flamed by people who are like, but Ahsoka's so great. Like, sure, I'm sure she is. I don't know anything about this character. So for me, it's like, she's neither bad nor good. Mm-hmm. This episode gave me nothing of her, really. Sure, she's a Jedi. She can fight. It's cool.
She's also killing people. I swear, if this were the only Star Wars thing you saw, you would think the Jedi are scary people.
Whether they're
the good guys or not, they're terrifying.
I just think judging her knowing, well, I know, we know about Jedi. I know about Jedi, right? Uh-huh. So I assume that she's good because she's a Jedi, right? Right. But if you don't know anything about this character, which other than her being a Jedi, I really don't know much. I'm sort of like, I don't know what her moral compass is based on this episode. She seems kind of wary of everybody. Right. Maybe that's part of her character normally. Right, right. I don't know. She seems really driven. Right. Like she wants this, you know, she's looking for something. Right. Other than that, the fight is cool. The Beskar deal is good. Yeah, I like the Beskar
stuff.
And we know that's setting up a fight against right. the Darksaber because she's like, yeah, pretty much everything but a lightsaber.
Right.
Right? Or it can't even cut through the Beskar. So, I don't know.
The thing that I like...
I felt that it was a weaker episode overall.
Yes.
I like the hammock.
Of that episode, yes. Oh. They take nap time together.
I know. It's a little nappies. Well,
the thing I like about that and season two in general, this is on my likes list, is... the reveal of Baby Yoda's name and backstory.
Yes.
I like the name more than the backstory. The fact that he was at the Jedi Temple, part of me is like, oh, okay. It all goes back to the temple. But I think his name is perfect. Some people don't like his name. I think
Grogu?
The name is perfect. It's the same sort of...
You have to hear Henry say it because he's still in the phase where he says R's is W's.
Grogu?
So he's like, Grogu. Oh, I'm like, man. Oh my goodness gracious.
Adorable.
And he has a Grogu.
Oh, I have so many.
That he sleeps with, but it's like the rubbery one on the top, so it like pokes him in the face. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. It's like Grogu, Yoda. It's the same sort of naming convention.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about this in the Haunted Mansion episode. Mm-hmm. Like some kid's entry point into Star Wars will be Grogu. That's Henry's entry point is Grogu. Yeah. That's the first thing he knows of Star Wars.
Right.
He has a Baby Yoda doll. He knows the name. Exactly. And that's he doesn't watch the show because I'm not a monster. But like... Right. He's two.
Which, by the way, I don't... whether or not Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni want Grogu in season three, he's going to be in season three. Go to a fucking toy store right now.
I know.
And that won't come from Kathleen Kennedy. That'll call him all the way up from... to what's his name?
Bob Iger?
No, no.
Oh, wait, well, he's gone
the
now,
current
right?
CEO, Bob Chodok or whatever.
It's someone else named Bob, isn't
yeah, yeah,
it?
Yeah. Oh, the current know. CEO will be like, are you out of your fucking mind? No. We're in the baby grow.
We're in the money making business. The theme parks aren't doing great right now. We keep printing that money.
They're turning Disneyland into a vaccine super center.
I sent that story to you, and I was like, wow, the happiest place on earth.
Yeah,
get that vaccine, baby.
Here's your churro. I've got only one more dislike before we could get into the love, because by
now,
up to this point, you probably think I'm a grumpy asshole who doesn't like it. This is like my favorite show, and I love it. I do love this show. So one last thing, Dark Troopers. They just look. I don't think they're. I don't hate them. They're just dumb. They're from a video game, and they look like it.
I feel I probably the same way about the troopers as you do about the lightsabers. I'm like, how many more troopers do we need? Really, we need more troopers. Like, there's so many different types of troopers.
And I'm sorry.
I think the Stormtrooper design is one of the coolest designs in movie history. Right. I absolutely love the helmet design. I think it's so striking. I love that it's all white, glossy. I love everything
about
it.
These look stupid. They look like Bionicles from Lego.
I think it just gets worse from there. Like, with the exception, I don't know, I wouldn't even say with the exception. I like the Scout Trooper design.
Yeah.
That's just one I like. But overall, I don't think it's ever gotten better than the Stormtrooper.
Right.
I don't think you have to keep trying to make it better.
It's
and
from
I get
a
that
video
it's not
game.
A human, but still.
It's from a video game from the 90s, which I never played, but apparently some people love.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks silly. It doesn't, to me, it doesn't match the aesthetic of Star Wars. It's a little more obvious. It's a little more obvious than I think. It looks like some fifth grader drew it. I don't know. Like, and also, I mean, not to be a continuity nerd, but like, wasn't one of the things that the Empire learned from the Clone Wars that like is that like humans are better soldiers than droids.
Yeah. That was why they cloned all those soldiers.
Right. So it's like somehow they're making like this is a step forward that it's droids
again.
We learned that droids were not good.
They do have like a throwaway line of like we've gotten rid of all those mistakes from the other ones.
Right.
where they just shot themselves and each other.
So again, it's like it's not terrible. It's just kind of dumb and. It also sets up people for Luke to just completely obliterate without you feeling bad because they're not people.
They do spell it out in that episode. Like Moff Gideon's like, if you had trouble against one of them, wait till you have to fight nine more. Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, God, no, I don't want to fight them.
Right. I liked when he put them all out the airlock. That was pretty sweet.
I was like, cool, they're gone. We never have to worry about them again.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they don't breathe air.
Yeah. Oh, no, they've got magnetic feet.
I actually have two more.
Dislikes?
Dislikes.
Give it to me. Hit me with it.
Again, it's sort of the...
What's with all the space?
What is this?
Let's get back down to Earth.
I want some more, like, land wars.
So many stars.
Is Moff Gideon on life support?
I'm sorry, I just thought of something. Jenny Nicholson's. Jenny Nicholson read the unused screenplay for episode 9, Colin Trevorrow's one.
Yes.
And it's not a line in the movie, but it's a line in the script where it was the end and it's like, they lost the Star Wars.
Yes.
Oh, God, I want that so bad. I just want somebody to say Star Wars.
Star Wars.
I told you, I wanted C-3PO to say it.
Maybe the real Star Wars with the
Friends of Needle. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I have a couple more. And these are like nitpicky things, I guess. But is Moff Gideon on life support? Why does he have a Darth Vader like vest on? Because the Moffs never wore those. Like, Grand Moff Tarkin just wore a uniform. Right.
And from what I understand, Moff was a political
title,
office,
right? Yeah.
Not a military one.
Well, yeah, but I guess Grand Moff Tarkin was in charge of...
Right.
Generals,
I don't
right?
know.
Like, he wears like this Vader-esque outfit.
Yeah.
And the Vader outfit, it seemed pretty clear, was a life support unit
right.
to like help keeping him, like it's like a ventilator.
That's an
basically.
Yeah.
Some sort
he
of
also
like,
has a cape, which I feel like not a lot of others have capes.
Yeah, it just seems like they're trying to make him look like Vader light.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
There's no real reason for it, unless that's an element of his backstory that we're going to learn, that he's like a Vader fanboy and is just trying to look like him, which is kind of pathetic,
that's,
which I like.
Right, but that's also a lot like what Kylo Ren is.
Right. But he's still... Like, Kylo doesn't wear that vest that has, like...
Right, no, he doesn't.
It looks like a lung thing. I don't know. It just... That's an odd thing.
Okay.
I would say... I know Katie Sackhoff is, like, really popular because of Battlestar Galactica,
yeah.
But I don't like Bo-Katan.
She's also the voice of Bo-Katan.
Oh, is she?
In the cartoon.
On the show. Oh, okay.
It was an instance where they got the person who did the voice.
I mean, she looks... From what I've seen... Again, I don't know Bo-Katan from... I don't watch the show. So if I'm just taking it from this character, I feel like we get a lot more from Bo-Katan than we do from Ahsoka because we've only seen her in one episode. But I don't know. I didn't love... It felt like kind of a robotic portrayal.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just like a nitpicky thing where I just kind of don't love the portrayal that character.
I love the show, but the thing... And some people love the Mandalorian lore, like, and a lot of the Clone Wars is based on Mandalore and the Mandalorian lore. And
yeah. Well,
and
Bo-Katan's
sister,
that about it.
Who
a
was
like thing.
Obi-Wan's, like, unrequited love and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this show's called The Mandalorian, I don't want it to be about Mandalore.
I think it will.
Well, it seems that's definitely
where it's going.
Because the Darksaber...
Now that he has,
whoever has
ownership
it is the,
of it.
Is the leader of Mandalore.
Yeah. So now he's the leader.
Right. Unless she like fights it or whatever. I don't know.
And he has to fight her for real. Like he can't. He tried to give it to her.
Right.
The last thing is Boba Fett. Not that I dislike Boba Fett. Uh-huh. But there's something in Spanish you call it like a falda. Falda's like... It's like a priest's garment.
Yeah, sure.
And so I'm like, oh, it's Boba Fett in his falda.
Yeah, I get
he's
it.
He's like walking around with a long black skirt on.
Yeah.
Not that I dislike Boba Fett. I knew he was coming. The second we had a Mandalorian show,
right.
I knew Boba Fett was going to be involved somehow. I'm not surprised at all. Like, fine. The Boba Fett episode felt weak to me.
Again, it's a backdoor pilot.
Yeah.
It's to do the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah. I like the Fennec Shand character, but it just... Things about the episode felt sloppy. Like, he puts down his jetpack They just say, like, put down your jetpack. And then when the oh God, what are they called? Dark Troopers show up. He just runs off without grabbing it. And it's just like, okay, well, it's because you're limited now. You can't follow him.
Right, exactly.
It just felt very lazy and sloppy. Yeah, I felt lazy. And also just the end where Boba Fett's like, we're in your debt now. I'm like, why?
Because fans like me and now I'm going to be a good guy.
I'm like, he didn't do anything that really to make you in his debt. So this is kind of stupid.
I'm a little split on this. I agree with everything you're saying. But I kind of feel like they had this really hard job of taking Boba Fett, who, when you really look at him, is nothing.
There's nothing there.
And filling him in. And actually, he's more of a character
in the prequels, I would say.
But I'm saying he's more of a character in this than he was in the movies.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He's
like,
not.
You get him when he wants.
He's just a bounty hunter. He's employed by Jabba.
Plus, they showed the inside of the ship and what it looks like when it goes from horizontal to vertical, which is just so cool.
There's so many like ship things in my like likes category. I love the way the TIE fighters land and the wings go out in a way you've never seen before. I lost my mind at the beginning of the season finale when we see how a TIE fighter launches when it's in space and it's like dangling and then they shoot it out. I was like, that was so cool.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That was incredibly cool. There's a lot of things that they're doing in terms of like vehicles, Star Wars vehicles, that are very, very, very cool.
That gets to.
I think my dislikes are over, though. I think I'm through.
All right, good. If you come up with another one, throw it out there.
All right.
But what you just said brings me to number one on my list of likes, which is this show is super influenced by the Kenner Star Wars figures and toys from the 70s.
Okay.
Favreau and Filoni love the toys, and their love of the toys is so present in the show. From things like the TIE Fighters to like when we see Bib Fortuna at the end Boba Fett kills him. Bib Fortuna has a staff. He never had that staff. That staff was created for the toy. And it was just an accessory for the toy, and then they made it and gave it to him.
Okay.
Also, and this was in season one, the sort of on the ground troop transporter. It looks like a big van, and then that was a toy. That was one of the toys that Kenner made that wasn't in the movie. And then they put it in it. You can see
Bill was saying that. He was like, oh, I had that.
That was a toy, right. It was only a toy, and now it's in it. So you can
There's something in that scene, too, that I absolutely loved, which was when the scout troopers go out to follow them, and they, like, ride their vehicles, like, over the cliffs, and you've, like, never seen that before.
Right.
I'm like, oh, my God, they can do this? I liked a lot of that stuff about the show.
It's like kids playing with a toy.
Yeah.
And you know, I love toys. And to me, the history of toys and the history of Star Wars are the same thing. Star Wars is just as revolutionary in the world of toys as it is in the world of movies. Completely left field trivia. If you're in Toy Story Land, you can look from the roller coaster and see a TIE fighter. But Disney perfectly made it so from that point of view, it would look like a toy in Andy's room.
That is so cool.
Anyways, so that's a big thing for me. And I think the vehicle love is a part of that.
Yeah.
It's like little kids playing with it.
Yeah. You so can tell, like, you can see the, I feel like with The Mandalorian in particular, you can really see the progression of the people behind the scenes working on Star Wars. It's like the first gen, it's like, we're coming up with this stuff. We're figuring out how it works and we're going to do it. And we've never done anything like this before. The second gen, like the prequel gen, and then into the cartoons is where they're starting to get more innovative. But
you still have Lucas at the head of it.
Yes. And they're trying to come up with new vehicles and like, instead of working with what they already have. And then the third gen, it's like second gen is like kids who played with it also. But I would say these are kids who like really played with these toys, are not really into the prequel stuff necessarily, and trying to make like the old stuff work a little better. Like, we're not getting like Padme's silver ship.
I kind of like that silver
ship. I like it too, but I feel like that's very indicative of where the prequels are trying to go, where it's like all new stuff.
Right, right.
But that shows it's like merchandising too. It's like, we got to buy all new things.
But it also shows the difference between Lucas in terms of innovation. Like, Lucas does not like to repeat this.
It's still innovative though, if you're doing something new with something.
Like, I agree.
We're retreading old ground, fine, but it's like, you know, it's a different song in the same style, right? Like, it's nothing.
More trivia. Yeah. Captain Phasma's costume is made out of the metal from one of those
silver ships.
Yeah, Naboo ships, because Naboo is the home planet of Palpatine, and okay. she's a Palpatine stan.
Oh. Oh, wait, that's a dislike.
What?
The Snoke stuff. We didn't get into that. If like
if that's where it is, it's not, we're not sure yet.
Strongly suggest.
It seems like that's where it
yeah.
is. It would make if Rise of Skywalker better almost, because it would be the breadcrumb that should have been laid had that actually been their plan.
I don't want to love Snoke at all. If he's got little baby Grogu's blood in him, though.
Oh, you think you'll like Snoke?
He can't
now?
Be all bad.
No, he's got to be good.
That's why he's such a snazzy dresser. So he likes
the
his robes. He loves it. I like almost nothing about Snoke. Like, I don't get anything about this character. I feel like we didn't know him at
He's
all.
He's the Liberace
like,
of...
I mean, that is cool. We love... I mean, we stan a king. But, like, he looks like Elvis in the gold suit melted. Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel like we didn't know really anything about Snoke, and then he died. And I was like, oh, okay, well...
Yeah.
Easy come, easy go, I guess.
Right.
I don't want the Mandalorian to try to fill in Snoke stuff.
Well, it would be filling
as
in.
As much as you are resisting the Skywalker stuff, right. I am also resisting the Snoke stuff. I'm like, please don't. It's such a weak part of this
But that's
story.
Part and parcel of the Emperor, right? I mean, Snoke wasn't a clone in Rian Johnson's movie. He became a clone when J.J. Abrams was like,
yeah.
shit, how do we bring the Emperor back? Oh, we'll say Snoke was a clone of the Emperor for some reason. I don't know. It makes no sense.
But it's canon now, right? So
right.
now we have to think that?
Right. So now it's
what was
it
he would, in it? Do we know the original intention of Snoke? He was just some dude.
They had no plan.
It's so upsetting to me. Well, whatever, fine, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I guess
I
have to, what is it,
yeah.
let go of things that are not within my control.
Yes. All right, so another thing,
but yeah,
I love,
if it furthers the Snoke story, I'm like, please don't. And I strongly suspect it is, because we see all this weird test tube
why
guys.
Why can't we just hint at something? Like, this is the problem with Luke for me.
As
like,
far
let's not
as
get
we
dead
go,
into it.
Fine. I don't really want to see, like, Luke's lessons either. I'm, like, cool with it. He's with Luke now? Fine. I don't have to think about
it. I'd like
it anymore.
As a book, but not as a show.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
If it were, like, a little novel,
like
Luke and
cartoon?
Grogu. Oh, stop.
What
please.
If it was?
The Adventures of Luke and Grogu.
Yeah.
And
there's
like
all those little puffin things
they
jumping
both,
around. And
it's
he's
like
not on that island yet, though.
No.
He can bring them.
It's
the
like
porgs.
Laverne and Shirley. They both open the door
I
at the same time.
Every name in Star Wars. I'm like, you know, the
porgs.
Babies and the little guys.
Yeah. Porgs. Oh, yeah. That's another thing we should say. A lot of fans are like, does that mean Grogu gets killed by Kylo Ren?
I said that to you.
That's like 20 years off, though.
Yeah, but he's still a baby.
But Grogu's probably going to.
Grogu's 50 years old now. You think he's going to look a lot different
in
at
season
70?
Three, he's going to come back.
And he's a man.
From Jedi camp and be like.
Played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Papa Mando. Let me tell you what happened.
Like Johnny.
Yeah. So funny.
Oh my god. Oh.
Something I love.
Okay.
Frog Lady.
Oh, Frog Lady's on my list too.
Not just because I love her and I stan her and I ship her and her husband, but because and this is something that in general Mandalorian gets right.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars is weird. Mm-hmm. Star Wars is odd. Like the cantina scene. The reason why when that movie first came out, that was so striking is because Luke walks into this bar and there's like a devil guy.
Yeah, there's a little like, just devil.
Weird like anime twins and like a werewolf man and the guy with like a ball sack face. Like,
it's like they went to the Halloween shop and they're like, what do we got? Okay, all right.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it was. And I like it. Frog Lady's weird. Like
Frog Lady is weird.
In the episode with Frog Lady when she's like in the hot spring with her eggs,
yeah.
I was like, so weird. And then she uses her tongue.
Frog Lady is nude.
I know. She uses her tongue to grab her clothes. I was like, that's so weird. I love it. And then she starts hopping because she's running.
I
was like, this is so weird. I love it.
I know. It's pushing us. It is. It's like grabbing on. I didn't even look at it that way, but I do love. I love her. I love the depiction of a functional romantic relationship in Star Wars, which we don't ever get. Like, ever.
Yes. And I like
somebody always dies. I anticipated a death, like he was gonna like her frog husband was gonna die,
right,
or she
happen.
Was gonna die, and he would be forced to raise his frog babies alone. Nothing happened. They were just a beautiful family at the end.
And I like that. What you see is something that I think I want to see more of in Star Wars, which is upward mobility. They're going from one planet to another for a better life.
Right.
And is this not what Luke, Han, and Leia fought for?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
The normal people having better lives.
From the Empire to, like, make a life for yourself. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's going to be messy at first, and there's going to be power vacuums, but right. You know what? It's if it's worth it, it's worth fighting for. Yeah. I completely agree. I love the Frog Lady stuff.
Frog Lady.
And I just like Bryce Dallas Howard as a director. I feel yeah. like she, we've talked about this before. Like, she really gets Baby Yoda. Big she time, does. And I think that whenever they bring her on, it's a strength. I love no, love she's her
great.
Episodes.
She's great, and of course, her father directed one of the best Star Wars movies, Solo.
I disagree. When he's alone, they're right. Okay, Solo then. It's like that. That's your last name.
Okay. Oh, so this goes back. Okay. Oh, you have a like? Give me a like from you. Sorry.
I have another like. From that episode, actually.
Give it to me.
I love nautical Star Wars.
Yeah.
We never see nautical Star Wars.
Boats.
And I was like, don't give me fucking Kamino, because that is boat, not nautical. We're on a boat with like Kraken people, yeah. And they're like pirates, and it's sailing in Star Wars. I'm like, we never see out to the sea.
I love it.
In Star Wars, the closest thing we got was Kamino.
Right.
Which was like, we don't even engage right. in that. There's like a weird dinosaur flying through the water, but like, this is yeah. a ship. Like, this is a yeah. this is a port, a seaport.
Right, and the population are all sea,
like Mon Calamari.
Right, yeah,
and,
it's yeah, all yeah, like yeah. The
like the octopus people, yeah, yeah. whoever these things are.
Right, it's all those creatures that would like live in a planet like that.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
I absolutely love that about this episode. And I like how, I don't know, we see a lot of grit in Star Wars. We'll see yeah. like sand grit and like, you know,
right.
like those Westerns that we never see, like salt grit and, you know, this kind of thing. I absolutely loved that when I saw it. I yeah. was like, oh my God, this is cool. I like when they give us these windows into other areas of Star Wars
this
that we don't
is,
ever see.
This
before.
Is what I want.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying, and I like it. It's very exciting. It's like, cool, we're still enjoying this world. Right. We're just going in a different direction. And I get, like, I don't want to retread the Skywalkers. I don't want to retread the Skywalker stuff either. I don't think that makes Luke a weak point in the story, though. Mm. And I kind of see it as, if you are coming from this, into this cold, and you're still like, I like Star Wars. Yeah. I like this show. But give me a few touchstones. That's just a touchstone for you. It's like, okay, this is still married to the larger thing that I like. Mm. And they're just giving me a little bit. And now they're going to go in some. And I almost kind of feel like, because they're going to go in what I anticipate is going to be a very Mandalore heavy next season, which is something that, unless you follow Rebels and Clone Wars or whatever, you don't know anything about in Star Wars, they sort of give you the Skywalker thing to be like, it's still Star Wars because next season's going to get crazy. So buckle up. It's not going to be anything you know.
Right.
And just remember, this is still Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
So I think in that way, I think that's also how it functions.
Okay.
But yeah, nautical Star Wars. New. Innovative.
I love
cool.
it.
We're going in a different direction. I'd love to see more of it. Absolutely.
I love it too. So another thing I really liked from this season, this is from an episode you don't like, which is the first episode.
Okay.
The Tusken Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like this about season one, though. This is like a thing I really liked about season one, which is just a continuation, I guess, right?
Well, for me, it's like? It's like the Tusken Raiders are pure bad guys in the episode 4, the original Star Wars movie.
Right.
And they're...
Are they called Tusken Raiders or Sand People in the first movie?
The fucking old racist... Ben Kenobi just calls them sand people.
Right.
I think he's the only one who calls them that.
That's like, a genuine jump scare, and it gets me every time because I forget they're going to be there when he like puts down the binoculars like right in front of your face.
Well, guess what? Tatooine was their planet first, and you fuckers came and took it over, and you think it's yours.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that we saw that so-called Tusken Raiders...
Mm-hmm.
And then when they do kidnap people, which is something we've seen them do, like with Anakin's mother,
yeah.
they're doing it because they're desperate and they want to ransom somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They're not evil. You know, it's like it's almost like the way Native Americans are represented in old cowboy movies. Mm-hmm. It's exactly that.
Yeah.
And also when we see Mando, like, they speak sign language.
Yeah. And he can communicate with
them. So, and you realize, like, oh, they're not savages. You just don't speak their language, so you think they don't speak.
We're shown Mando, and in season one, they show us a seemingly, like, cold-hearted bounty hunter who will kill someone if they have to without sparing a second thought. And when we start to kind of get to know him through Baby Yoda mostly, but yeah. also through the Tusken Raiders, that's sort of a moment, I think it's episode two, mm-hmm. where we're like, oh, he can't be all that bad, because if he establishes trust with these
right.
people, then he must, like, something's going on. Like, he understands enough to be like, okay, they were here first, or they have as much claim as I do.
Right.
And that's yeah. something we haven't seen before. I mean, at its core, Star Wars, whether or not it intended to be, is a story of colonization. I mean, right. it's about the Empire, you know, which in the first few... Well, no, I guess it must have been, because they were all British in the first
few movies.
So it's like, it's a British colonial story, yeah, right? And like Naboo yeah. is obviously colonized very heavily.
Right, because it's obviously the Gungans'
yeah,
planet.
Yeah, it's their planet. So we visit these planets and we're like, oh, you belong here, not us.
Exactly, exactly. And so I really love that. Mm. I loved that they made them speak sign language. I loved that... I believe they hired actual...
like ASL users?
Yeah, to...
Is it ASL?
I think it's like a derivative of it.
Something they created for it?
Something like that, okay. yeah. But they hired real people that use
ASL.
I was
ASL. Like, if you were actually like a sign right. language user, would you understand what they were saying? That's
maybe.
Interesting.
It might be another derivative.
Or maybe AFS... it's like more symbolic gestures rather than like actual dialogue gestures, I wonder.
I don't know.
I'm sure people have written about it.
Yeah. So I really liked that. I really liked that. Mm. There's a great... essay. Oh, I forget what it's called and who wrote it. but basically it's Orientalism.
Okay.
It basically, the essay is about the Ewoks, and what the rebels do is just as evil as what the fucking Empire is doing, because these are just peaceful, primitive animals or beings, mm-hmm. and the Jedi coming in there and fooling them and saying he's like this metal guy's a god and go with and fight and die
True,
with us is
but
just as bad.
You just used a word like primitivism is something in post-colonial studies also right. like we're just assuming they're primitive because
right.
they don't use like the same materials we
That's
use.
That's true.
But they outsmarted and they physically beat
right.
this much more, I'm using air quotes here, you cannot see because we're on a podcast, but technologically advanced
right.
people. Like obviously they have engineered. They have met, you know, they
true,
can think
true.
Critically. So, you know, we're just applying our white, lily white,
you got
white
me. You got
standards
me.
To this
you,
group.
You fucking got me. How's the high road up there?
Did I mention I have a master's degree?
So do I.
mine was on post-colonial studies.
There's a Star Wars book. I know I read the books. There's a book called Last Shot that features a Ewok hacker. Who's like crazy good with.
Okay.
And it's only like 20 years after Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
So like they put this little furry person. Mm-hmm. I think it's a female.
Okay.
And they figured out how to hack computer. I like it.
Why wouldn't they be able to figure it out?
Why
like
not?
They just haven't been introduced to the technology.
Exactly.
So.
But still you could make the argument that they didn't have to deal with all the bullshit capitalism of the galaxy.
We don't know what their system of. Bartering or money is like. Right. They could have their own.
There's weird stuff with Ewoks. Because I don't think. Star Wars in general knows how to treat them.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
there's also...
they're like mini Wookiees, I think they were intended to be.
And there's a line in one of the Star Wars books around the like mm-hmm. era of after Return of the Jedi where they refer to therapy Ewoks.
What?
Which is like, that makes them more like dogs.
But they have like...
like how can you... how can some of them be hackers?
They build houses.
I know,
like what are you therapy talking about? Ewok? Unless they're like therapizing you.
No,
like,
it sounds much more
like... it's
more
like you pet them and kiss them
yeah,
and stuff.
It's much more like a fucking service.
And try to
service,
get them on your Southwest
Ewok.
Flight.
I have papers for the service Ewok. I need him. I have a panic
God.
Attack without him.
Listen, you're probably
going
to have
Chirpa
cut.
Chirpa needs to come with me.
Oh my God. Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Well, Henry also has like a life-size Wicket that he sleeps with. He doesn't know any of these things. And people just get us stuff because they know we like Star Wars. So we're like,
good.
Here you go.
Good. You got to indoctrinate him young. Do you have any more likes?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. All right. I actually like the idea, like the stuff that was introduced with Bo-Katan. I don't necessarily like her depiction. Fine, whatever. I'm sure uh-huh. I'll grow to like her. But I like... when they all take off their helmets and he's like, you're not Mandalore.
Oh, right. He's like basically
and
like.
And they're like, oh, he's like Amish.
Right. Yeah. He's like, a different. Right.
Oh, you're a zealot.
Yeah.
Like you were raised by religious zealots who don't believe you can take off your helmet. And,
right.
And I like all of the he's a religious zealot type thing. And then them kind of breaking the glass on that. So then in a later episode, when we're in the Bill Burr episode, which I think is a really strong episode, when he's like, your goals keep, like, you keep shifting the goalposts, basically. It's like, you can never take off your helmet. Oh, you could take your helmet off if someone doesn't see. You can take your helmet off and then wear another helmet. Keep changing the circumstances. Right. And I like that they bring that up because... like, that was basically my thought. I'm like, wasn't in season one, he couldn't take it off ever?
Right.
And now he can, and we even see him lifting it to eat and stuff. Right. And
but I do like that it shows how much he cares about Grogu.
Well,
he's willing to break all these rules for him. Even at the end, he takes off his mask.
Yeah.
And Grogu touches his face, and he flinches, because that's like, probably the first time
someone's touched his skin.
Right. Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, that's a great moment.
We haven't talked enough about it, but the end devastated me. It was like, the last time I felt like that was like, you know, reading a book like Eleanor and Park, where it's like like a love story where they don't get together.
Oh, wait, I got a text from Bill. Jedi Babies. It's like Muppet Babies, but Luke is the nanny and you only see his feet. I love it. I love the cartoon.
Green light.
Yep, green light. You got the deal. We love it. We love it. I'd watch it.
Of course.
I mean, I just think it's a great Baby Yoda season.
Of course, yes.
Anytime
the macarons.
I like that. Like, he like spits up afterwards. I love his arms are in the air and he's like squealing when the ship is going.
He's getting close to talking.
He's getting close to speech. But mostly I love whenever he like bristles with excitement when Mando says his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, me? Who, me? You said my name. Daddy knows my name. It's the cutest thing. It's so cute.
Oh, my God.
Cute.
When he's in that little, like, cubby hole, and he's like, put the red wire to, don't touch it together. It's so good.
And it's like, poof, when he's like, the smoke in his face. It's such a great gag.
So great.
I absolutely love him.
Oh, my God. I can't, if Grogu were not in season three, I can't tell you how fast I would cancel my Disney Plus.
I think that's it for my strong likes.
Well, I have one last like, too, and then I guess we could wrap it up.
Okay.
I like that, and this says something about the nature of power, I like that the New Republic's like the man now. There's that scene where Mando is in his ship, and he's like on both sides, he's flanked by X-Wings.
Yeah, they're cops, they're pulling him over.
And it's like that feeling of, oh, shit. Like, when you see, like, a cop's light behind you, it's like, I'm getting pulled over. You see two X-Wings and, like, so what are you doing, buddy? And and then, like, there's silence for a minute. Mm-hmm. And almost like when the light turns on, like, if you've ever gotten a ticket, like, the cop's behind you and you're like, oh, maybe I'm not in trouble. And then the light goes on and you're like, fuck.
No, no.
Like, there's a moment where it's silent and then you just see the X-Wings open, like, the wings expand. Yeah. Like, and it's like, fuck. And I like that.
I like that one cop keeps showing up. Right. We were calling him cop. Is it though?
Because that's Rangers of the New Republic. That's,
Bill said that he's like, it's definitely that guy. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, right. It's Rangers of the New Republic, which is it's going to be a cop show. And
yeah, and he's like investigating like at the end. Right? Dun, dun. It's just Jerry Orbach.
Yeah. So I like that. I like the idea. And also in the Bill Burr episode, he says something like, he was talking about the planet they're on. Is like, you think these people care that it's the Empire or the New Republic?
Oh, that's something else I liked. Yeah. I really loved that about that episode. That we got to see it from the Stormtroopers' perspective from once, when they make it through. And everyone's like, yeah, awesome. And I felt like, awesome, yay, even though it's the Stormtroopers. We hate them. But do we hate them? Are they just like working stiffs? Like, they're grunts? They're just hired by the Empire. Right. Just, have you always completely agreed with the company you're working for? Right. Like, their mission statement? Or is it just a job?
And just like the military in a lot of places, it could get you out of a bad economic situation. Right, a lot of people go into the Empire because they don't want to be stuck on their shitty planet, or they have no money.
Are we getting into a Clerks argument?
No, we're not.
Those people were innocent. They didn't deserve to die. Not everybody is an engineer of the Death Star.
No, it's true. It's true.
No, it did make me look at it from a different perspective where it's like, absolutely. Yeah. These people aren't like completely evil hearted. Like, we've been.
And of course,
we're supposed to look at them like Nazis, right? From the first movie. But now this really, I think it does put a lot of distance between the original films where you're like, oh, these are all evil dudes. And they all totally believe in this mission. And, you know, And this is more like, these right. guys maybe aren't the right. worst in the world. I mean, they definitely aren't on the good side, yeah, but it humanizes
them. It makes me wish they had gone with the original script for episode 9, because mm-hmm. that rounded out Finn's story by having him lead a stormtrooper rebellion.
Yeah, stormtrooper rebellion. Right. That seemed to be where it was going because of that other character that he meets.
It's supposed right,
to
be like Lando's daughter.
I don't know.
Yeah, that would have been like, something to do with his character.
Two former stormtroopers. What right. are we going to do?
Let's start an uprising. Yeah. And that would, I mean, that has a much, the political message there is great. The idea, like, even within them, like, people mm-hmm. are like, this is bullshit. We're bad right, guys, yeah. right?
And they're being mistreated. Like, yeah. he was very mistreated by, you know, Phasma and all of his superiors. He's sort of, like, living in yeah. fear. And I'm sure all the other people were as well. Yeah. So.
And not only do they show stormtroopers as maybe being vulnerable good guys at times, it shows the New Republic is being strong arms mm-hmm. and it shows the problem. I hate to sound like a state's rights person or a planet's rights person, but it shows the problem, which is there are too many planets in the galaxy and Coruscant is in the core and there's no way to really to control everything. It and yeah. when the Empire was evil and when it fell mm-hmm. it did turn a lot of the Outer Rim planets into complete chaos yeah. because the New Republic isn't out there mm-hmm. and at least before with the Empire there was some order mm-hmm. so you know I will always be a fan of when they take all of these ideas and think about them in a much more nuanced way. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of like really thinking about the politics of Star Wars.
Yeah, really give it thought. Let's compare it to real world examples of whatever. Right. What happens when an empire leaves? It's not usually good.
Right. And what happens when you win? Right. You're not still the good guys.
Yeah. Now you're the yeah.
Right.
Like you said, you're the man. You are in charge now. And even what does that mean?
Even Cara Dune's character in season 1 talks about she left because she was like, I joined to be a soldier in the rebellion and now I was a cop.
Right.
And I was like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened. That's what happened mm-hmm. to all the X-Wing fighters. Mm-hmm. They become police, I guess.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we did it. I have nothing more to say about season two.
Let's do it.
I hope.
Let's go in season 3.
I hope season 3. I like it. It's still my favorite show. I hope season 3.
Does Mandalore not exist anymore? Like the planet itself? Was it blown up or something?
No, it does. But I think it's just like, I think it's just all fucked up now.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure if it existed anymore. And if it
I don't think
does,
anyone lives there or something.
Oh, I think we're going to see it then. If it wasn't like blown up like Alderaan, then we're going to see it.
No, it's not all the way blown up, but I think it's like desolate. I don't know. Somebody knows and they're upset about it.
All right.
The Book of Boba Fett will be next year, and that is that is its own
really
show.
Interested in that? I'll probably watch it, but I don't know.
Right. I love Grogu. I hope he comes back.
Oh, I love him too. I'm cool if we take a season
break. I'll never be over him. You know what I mean? Like, every time he's on screen, I'm still like, look at the Grogu.
I know. They use him. I think they use him the perfect amount.
Right.
I think they give him to us when we need him.
But I don't want a season without him.
Oh.
Especially,
see,
not just because
okay
I love looking at
him,
but because I feel like the heart of the show is Mando and him.
Their relationship, yeah. But I think if they take him away for a season, assuming they'll get a season 4, which I'm sure
they
will.
Two episodes at most. Right.
I'm going to negotiate you up to 4.
I feel it when he's not in an episode.
I do too. I always think of the Poochie episode of Simpsons. It's like, when he's off screen, character should be asking, where's Poochie?
But that's what happened, right? In the Bill Burr episode, they're all about like, we got to go get the little green guy.
I know. I suspect if they show him at all, it will be very briefly in the next season. And in fact, I think they may not show him at all.
Well,
we'll see what
Bob Chapek has to say about that.
I'm okay with that if they do that. We'll see.
All right. Well, this has been Mandalorian Season 2 recap. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm with Janine Gagliardi.
Goodbye. Thank you.
May the Force be with you.
And also with you.
All right. Come back next week because we're going to continue talking and we're going to talk about everything else going on in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff. We end the episode by saying, go bye-bye.